Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Before we jump into this program, I want to remind you that WEAA is in need of raising an additional $20,000 before June 30th in order to hit our end-of-the-year fiscal goal. You can make your tax-deductible contribution to WEAA securely online at WEAA.org to sustain your public radio station, because you are the public in public radio, and only you can do it, and I know you can do it. We want to thank you for your support and making a difference for public radio in our community. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Go to WEAA.org, pledge online now, and help us meet that goal so we can make sure we bring you the programming you've come to love and rely upon. I will introduce you now three folks who are here in the studio. Marceline White, who is Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. Kevin Matthews is a Baltimore City resident, featured in this film we're going to talk about, Stealing Trust, as was Terry Berg, who lives in Anne Arundel County, also featured in this film, a film about the hustles to put our community members in greater debt, these debt hustlers that are out there on your television set every day. What can you do about them? Foreclosures and the scams, some legal scams, really, to make people lose their homes, not be able to stay in the homes that they love and they've been paying for, and the home improvement scam. There's probably not one out of two of our listeners has been scammed by somebody in home improvement. I guarantee it that. So as we get ready to listen to our guest here, and you can join us at 410-319-8888, we want to play the intro to this film, which is called Stealing Trust, People's Stories in the State of Maryland. Try to educate us, to get us to understand the issues, and to fight for our rights. The film, by the way, the next showing of Marylanders Speak Out on Scams, Frauds, and Financial Abuses will screen tomorrow night at the Central Branch of the Enoch Pratt Library at 6:30 p.m. Let's go to this clip, and we'll be back with our guests.
My ultimate dream was to have my home as something that I could pass on to my children or my grandchildren.
When I started this process, I was thinking of lowering my debt.
Our home was supposed to be this place where you could come, all of our kids' friends could come, hang out.
I wanted to consolidate my bills.
Trying to do the right thing by paying it back.
Most people want a house, something to leave your kids. That's the biggest thing. I love the house and I want to leave it to my son.
Most of us start out in the same boat, wanting to buy a home, wanting to maybe fix the home up, wanting to spend money on things we care about for those we love. What we found is that for many people in Maryland right now, those things have gone horribly awry.
We have with us in the studio Marceline White, who's Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, whose voice you just heard at the end of that clip. Kevin Matthews, you heard in that clip, who is Baltimore City resident, featured in the film Stealing Trust, who lost his home and is an Iraqi war vet, getting ready to start medical school here in our community, trying to do the right thing, as he is. Terry Berg, resident of Anne Arundel County, featured also in this film Stealing Trust, who was put in a position that almost sent them under. And folks, welcome. Good to have the three of you in our studio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We knew that it was bad when the economic crisis hit and the banks went under, and we started bailing out banks, but not us, but started bailing out the banks instead. But this adds to that crisis, the stuff that you're talking about in this film, Marceline.
Absolutely. What we're seeing is that there's the financial crisis and the bailout for the banks, but at the same time, there's not the same kind of response for struggling citizens, struggling Marylanders who, while the banks are being bailed out, are losing their homes, people who've lost jobs, or people who were put into subprime loans even when they qualified for a regular loan. We see people who have saved up and tried to renovate their house rather than moving from their community and been scammed, and there are loopholes in the law that allow them to be scammed legally, basically to have their money taken. And we've seen people whose debts have mounted, and when they try to repay the debts, they get taken advantage of again by some of these companies who've taken their money and don't do anything to help them.
Now, were either one of you victims of that debt scam? No. Those were one of your cases. So let me just ask this question, because I think this is something that really boggles the mind when I saw this film. And I never really, I thought about it, but I didn't think about it this way until I watched the film. Which is, here you have these companies, they advertise on television, they advertise in our newspapers, they advertise all over town, they advertise on billboards, and they're scam artists. They take your money, give me $1,200, we'll pay down your credit card debt, mm-hmm. we'll help you get out of this, don't worry, don't go off there and pay the credit card companies any more money, we'll take care of it all, we'll do it one by one, and they just scam folks and get away with it.
Yes, it's been legal until recently. There was a new federal decision, but until last July, it was legal to advertise that you would help people settle their debt. You'd pay them in advance before anything happened. People would be saving up this money, giving it to these debt settlement companies. They wouldn't do anything. They'd say, oh, well, after 6 months or 8 months, we'll start to negotiate. Then you have to accumulate a sum to negotiate with these debt settlement companies. With your creditors. People are struggling already. They don't have 8 months to give of money to give to a debt settlement company. And so at the same time, they're not paying their creditors. Their harassment calls are increasing. Collection activities continue. Their credit score plummets. And they're out this money without any relief.
Is it against the law yet?
There was a federal rule that was passed in last July. Because of the prevalence, there have been court cases in many states. There's been a general accounting study. There have been other studies. And what they've decided to do is now they've banned fees in advance. So essentially they say you can no longer take money until you do your job. But because of the way it was written, it only applies to people who make the transaction by calling in or if they receive a phone call. So anything done face-to-face or by internet is outside that rule.
That just boggles my mind. I mean, you're talking about people who end up, you give somebody $8,000 over a period of months, let's say,
right. Yep.
Thinking they're paying off your debt.
Yes.
Taking care of you.
Yes.
Then you find out they're not. And then they get angry at you and say, you're stuck with this. And people, so now instead of owing $40,000 or $10,000 to a credit company, you may owe $40,000 or $70,000 to a credit company, to your credit card company.
That's right, because the late fees and the penalties continue to accumulate. And the thing that I find most galling is that all the folks who contact these debt settlement companies are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to pay off their debts. They don't want to become bankrupt. They don't want to go to bankruptcy. They want to do the right thing. And in trying to do the right thing, they unknowingly hook up with companies who are really just taking their money and leaving them to hang out and dry. So it's incredibly appalling. And the other piece that I think people often don't understand is why a lot of these folks are in debt. And, you know, there's always the one person who maybe bought, you know, a giant TV or bought some things they shouldn't have. But for the majority of folks, the credit card is really like your security blanket now. A lot of the folks who are in high debt because they lost their job, so they used the credit cards to tide them over, or they had a medical expense that they couldn't cover otherwise, and so they used their credit cards for that. Or others, you know, it was something like a home repair. So if you look, there have been studies that a lot of the people who are in debt now, it's because their wages can't keep up with their expenses, and it's been an emergency situation that they've had to deal with.
410-319-8888. We're here with the executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, Marceline White, Kevin Matthews, and Terry Berg, both community residents here who have been victims of these scams in our communities, not particularly but other scams. The movie is Stealing Trust. See it tomorrow night at 6:30, but join us here now. If you see that film, you can also connect a lot of people to deal with the issues that you're facing. Kevin, tell us your story. That was what happened to you.
Well, basically what happened was that when I came home from Iraq, I purchased my house. Like she said, like Marceline said before, income was decent, things were going okay. Well, when it came to a point where I lost my job, like I said, even though I'm a veteran, I had a process in to try to get some help, but the VA didn't help me too much. So it got to the point where all my money that I had when I lost my job went to my mortgage.
What you said in the film was that you spent all your savings, you cashed in your 401k, everything you had, and you put that all into your mortgage,
yes.
Right?
I took my son's college fund, all the money I had in 401k, and all the savings I had in the bank. I didn't pay anything but the mortgage. And when it got down to the point of communication, I got a lot of misinformation. No one told me anything. And when they, what happened was they went through with the foreclosure when they weren't supposed to, because I was trying. I had a modification package, and what most people don't realize is if you have any type of legal dispute or modification, and they can't foreclose. Well, they foreclosed on me, then illegally evicted me 3 weeks later, which you weren't supposed to do. That was illegal in itself, and that's what nullified the foreclosure.
And so what's the situation now?
Well, the situation now is that they tried, they call themselves trying to appease me, but I'm actually, my attorney's handling my case right now. We're actually doing legal arbitration.
But you're not in your home now, right?
I live in a house, no.
You're back there.
I've been back in a home, but they did so much damage it caused me once again to exhaust all my savings to make it livable. So basically, we're in legal arbitration. So I have a big fight ahead of me.
Because you came home when you were in that film and you walked into your walked to your house that was padlocked. Everything that you owned, your kids' stuff, everything you owned was gone.
Everything I had was gone, yes, sir. It was padlocked on the front lock. It was so bad, they took everything. They took my son's bed. They took all my clothes. It was a mess. Let's just say it's just something that nobody should come home to at all. It's a disgrace, in my opinion.
And before we come back to this, I'm going to talk about what the laws are and what we can and cannot do about it and how we get laws changed to make things work for our citizens. Terry Berg, who lives in Anne Arundel County, yours was built around a home improvement scam, if I remember correctly, from the film.
Yes, that's correct. I am part of a group of consumers, actually, who were defrauded by two companies, two men. And in my own particular case, we had decided to build our dream house. We found a little house near the water in Anne Arundel County, and it was 800 square feet. I have six grandchildren, etc., so I needed more space and more bathrooms. In any case, so we decided to build on. We hired this contractor, and he took $90,000, which under the law he is permitted to do one-third of the contract, and he didn't even get the foundation in the right place. So we decided to try to sue him, which we did. And we got a judgment from Anne Arundel County. We've never seen a penny of it. He declared bankruptcy. We couldn't afford a bankruptcy lawyer, to come to our assistance at that point. And so we lost a total of about $120,000 there, plus the lawyer fees, to defend ourselves, and never saw a penny. When this man went to bankruptcy court, we did go. He had a bankruptcy file that, I'm not kidding, was at least 2 feet high. He had done this before. I had, in some ways, as Kevin was saying, I'd like to put this behind me. It's exhausting. But then we came in contact with at least 15 other people, other families, who had been defrauded by the same contractors. So we fought very hard to bring criminal charges. Our case went to civil court. Most of them went to civil court. We also filed complaints with the Maryland Home Improvement Commission, which, again, we didn't know the limit on funding from the Maryland Home Improvement Commission's guarantee fund. I just read, as many consumers do, that a builder, a home improvement contractor, is licensed and bonded and insured. And I thought, I'm covered. I did my homework. I looked him up and made sure he had a license. I didn't know that at that time there was a $15,000 cap on the guarantee fund. It wouldn't even cover the amount of money that we had to put down. And it's regardless of the size of your project. Ours was a major project, but there were people in our group. The projects may have been $10,000. It might have been a kitchen renovation, $40,000, whatever. So that guarantee, and what you have to go through, months and months and months, and lost papers and whatever. In our group, however, the leadership of the Maryland Home Improvement Commission changed during this time. Things have improved, and they have raised the guarantee fund to a whopping $20,000. And I, in my own heart, I felt we would never get any money back. But I had great compassion for everybody else in the group struggling. And we decided to do two things. Number one, to try to get the case to a criminal court, because we felt there was enough to make this criminal, not civil. And the other thing was to change the law. So I personally have been working at that for 5 years. In the criminal case, we were very disappointed within the last month in the criminal case. The contractor was acquitted because we could not prove intent to fraud. Never mind the fact that over $1 million was gone. Was the intent there? So Marceline especially has helped us so much to define what can we do in the law to change that. So we made some improvements. Number one, that a complaint history for any builder has to be on the website. I shouldn't have to call 14 times and wait hours and hours. I should be able to click a button and find out what the record of this builder really is. And they're going to be required to do better consumer education. Two things that are still under study are a performance bond, where a improvement contractor would have to have a bond to cover the cost of the contract. We're getting some pushback on that, and that's under study. The other thing that's under study is a tiered licensing program. So if a contractor is able to take on a $300,000 contract like ours, he's one level. Somebody who is doing decks is a different level. So there's progress, but it's very disheartening.
Piecemeal progress. So I'm curious what people's rights are here. I mean, in why things can't be enforced. What's not being enforced here?
It's a great question. With the Home Improvement Commission, I'd say there were loopholes. And I think what you really saw is that the Home Improvement Commission and the Guarantee Fund works for folks whose claims are under $20,000. For anybody who has a project above that, it's not going to cover they're not going to get the money back if something goes horribly awry. And so that needs to be changed, and they need to look at ways to protect people who are doing things like green building, like Terry was doing, or historic preservation, which are generally more expensive to do, and reevaluate so that you're getting the right kinds of contractors and you can look and find complaints out. One of the things that happened in Terry's case is that other people checked on the license as well, but because they were still investigating these people who defrauded them, there was no record that anything had happened. And the system just broke down, in essence. And the Maryland Board of Physicians, you go on their website, you can see what kind of complaint is filed and then what happens to it. And we think the same thing should be happening for home improvement contractors. With foreclosures, as you know, nationally, it's a mess, let alone in Maryland specifically. The Maryland Attorney General and Maryland is part of the negotiation of state attorney generals to try to come up with a settlement among the big banks and the servicers, because there have been so many problems with lost paperwork, misinformation, affidavits that were improperly signed, otherwise known in other courts as perjury, that right. That they're part of the settlement negotiation. But part of the other problem is something that Kevin mentioned, where there's this idea of dual tracking, which is when you're trying to get your loan modified and save your home, the foreclosure process is going along at the same time. And that happens in many cases. And is still, you're able to do that, and that's still a problem too, because it should be once your loan's modified or isn't, then you go forward. In the case in Maryland now, we do have a foreclosure mediation program where you can now sit across from a servicer and a neutral party hears the case and hopefully works out some kind of a positive outcome, whether it's a loan modification or some kind of short sale.
I mean, so Like in your case, Kevin, you're in the house now. You're still paying the bank?
No, sir. I paid them too much. right now, what I'm doing, the fact is that I am in legal litigation. And what people don't realize is if your mortgage payment gets too high, you should establish your money and put it in an escrow account. One of the biggest mistakes you can do is spend your mortgage money, because the more it goes in liquid, the more interest accrues. So what I wouldn't advise was, if I couldn't afford the $1,200 that they want me to pay, I put away $900. That way, when it comes down to negotiations, you have something to negotiate with. Now, like I said, that's a responsible thing to do, but a lot of homeowners aren't told that. or is there being some people being responsible, some isn't. So I'm not going to say that. But like I said, I was told to put my money in an interest-bearing escrow account, like a savings account, until we come to negotiation. That way, I don't mind paying back the back money, but you have something to negotiate with. And basically, that's why I said I'm in legal litigation. So I do live in a home, but my money goes into a escrow account with my attorneys until they get in contact with the legal team of GMAC.
Gotcha.
And I'd say, just stepping back, there are a couple important things that cut across all of these cases that we need to do. And one is just to have very clear, concise contracts. You shouldn't have to have a PhD, and some of the people do have PhDs and didn't understand the home improvement or their mortgage contracts. That's wrong. A lot of these contracts are designed to deceive people. So if you have clear contracts where people can really make a decision based on the price, that's going to eradicate a lot of the problems we have right now. And the other piece that is really important is making sure that we have enforcement, and that deals with making sure we have people staffed and have the money to enforce things, and that the punishments are really punitive.
Go ahead, Karen. Some questions here.
I think one of the other issues is from a, I'll call it a human perspective rather than a legal one. People get very worn down with this, as you were saying at the beginning of the show. If you ask one out of two people, they're going to tell you they had a problem. However, taking action, raising your voice, picking up the phone, people don't do. The majority of people don't do. They want it to happen. Sometimes they don't know how to make it happen, but they're worn down. And many times, frankly, they're very embarrassed. I know two homeowners right now. I know a man walked away from a $30,000 loss because he didn't want to fight it, even though he really couldn't afford not to fight it.
Right. Two things I'm curious. A, the film itself, Stealing Trust, which, by the way, folks, you can meet these folks and see the film tomorrow night at Enoch Pratt Library at 6:30, downtown at the Central Library, Enoch Pratt Library on Cathedral Street, and well worth your visit. And it really is a good film. For a local film, it's a really good film, because a lot of times you're not sure what you're going to see, but this is really well done, as well as very informative, and it's very impassioned about what we face in debts, foreclosures, and home improvement, and what we can do to change things. The question is, what do we change things, and how do we change them?
Great. I think, as Terry started to say, one of the things is to get involved. Our state legislature meets for 3 months. We've heard from them that they often hear from people when there's a problem. They don't hear when they're doing something that's right. So I think two things are to thank them when they're doing the right thing and they're helping, but also to hold them accountable. There are elected officials, and I go to Annapolis 3 months of the year to advocate on behalf of consumers, but I can tell you the business interests and the business lobbies far outnumber us in terms of capacity and ability.
Oh, shocking.
I know. Amazing. What does weigh in our favor is getting people to really call in or write letters. And they do listen to what is in the local paper. They listen to local constituents' calls. And that, for a lot of them, they hear 10 calls. That's enough to make them rethink their position. So I think that's important. I think another thing that Terry said is I almost feel like we need to have a public, if not a campaign, there are two things we need to address. One is the fact that this is happening to so many people in Maryland. We're all in this together. We're seeing so many people with the economy facing these kinds of problems, but people are embarrassed to talk about it. And until more people talk about it, I'm going to be calling on my two friends across the table to keep telling their stories, which was really hard for them, because there are so many other people who have the same kinds of stories, but they have the courage to be able to come forward. And I think we need more people to tell their stories, because representatives need to hear this, your delegates need to hear it, your congresspeople need to hear it. But also, we need to break through this idea that, number one, everyone just needs to be educated better. Because if you talk to these folks, you know that they were educated. And it's not consumer education, it's the products that they were being sold.
Right.
And number two, you need to also address the idea that to be pro-consumer is to be anti-business. Because if businesses work with proper information, from an economist standpoint, it assumes perfect markets, right, which we know isn't true. But right now what we're seeing is that consumers don't have real, appropriate, clear information. And if they did, the businesses that were good businesses could compete on price and service and get rid of the bad actors.
I mean, and what we need really, I mean, what we're talking about here is our laws that protect us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not just the banks.
Exactly.
Right. You know, and that's what we're, I mean, that protect people who are trying to keep their homes, buy their homes, live a decent life, right, and not lose things when they're trying hard to preserve what they have.
Exactly.
So, which is what we're not doing. And we only have a few minutes left here in the segment, but you want to say something? I look like I can see you about to say something.
I did. Thanks, Mark. One thing I would like to point out is our group in the home improvement issue, we worked very hard, and myself in particular, to build a real coalition. We don't want to do in business. All of us in our group, we were rescued by a good builder. And you saw in the film, mm-hmm, one of those builders was interviewed. We also called on the National Association of the Home Building Industry. It benefits business, as Marceline was saying, to do things openly and professionally.
Well, I think one of the things that we pursue here, maybe and we could even have this in the form of, for the sake of what people call balanced journalism, whatever that means, that we should have a discussion between consumer advocates and the folks who don't think the law should be changed and put the stuff on the table so people understand it as we roll through this, because
we'd love it. I think it's really clear, and we'd be happy to talk more about the need and how this is an anti-business, and the need is to protect consumers as well as the industry.
And sometimes with folks who have $1,000 Gucci shoes have an easier time flying from the hall to Annapolis.
It's true. It is true.
It is sadly true. But I think that's something we need to talk about, and I hope that you do get to keep your cone, Kevin Matthews. And
thank you very much.
I mean, you know, this is when I hear stories like this and know that Kevin Matthews put on a different set of boots, whether you agreed with the war in Iraq or not is not the issue, but on a different set of boots, served his country, comes home, and is threatened with losing his home after working hard at a job and trying to go to medical school. I mean, that's utter madness. That makes no sense.
Can I be honest with you, though?
You can.
At the end of the day, like a lot of people, it does get tiring talking about this all the time.
Yes, it does.
But big businesses, and I'm not, they expect you to quit. It's like any type of red tape. If I take you through enough, you will quit. It's like filing for a legal case. If I file it and it takes 6 years, by then, you're not going to feel like fighting. But I tell people, do not walk away, because when you walk away, you let them win. Anybody, that's why I said in the film, you keep fighting. You get tired, because I get very tired, and I have a 3-year-old, so I don't sleep anyway.
But make any man or woman tired.
You have to keep fighting, because if you don't, you let them win. That's why I appreciate the people sitting at this table that keep on fighting. That's why I keep doing this, even though I swear sometimes I just want to just throw in my hands. But you got to, basically, if my story can help somebody else, then I think I did my job. And I think that that's the best thing you can do is affect change.
Kevin Matthews lives here in Baltimore City. He is an Iraq War veteran who is fighting to keep his home that they're trying to take from him, the banks, that is. And the film is called Stealing Trust. Terry Berg was ripped off of her life savings trying to improve her home by an illegal home improvement scam. Perhaps a legal home improvement scam, I should say. And she also is featured in Stealing Trust. She lives in Anne Arundel County. Marceline White is Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. And tomorrow night, the film Stealing Trust, Marylanders Speak Out on Scams, Frauds, and Financial Abuses will screen again tomorrow night at the Enoch Pratt Library on Cathedral Street, downtown, at 6:30 p.m. Be there. You can also find out more information about how to fight for your rights while you're in that place, and meet folks who are in the same place you are, and also get to understand what the issues are that we need to stand up and fight for our consumer rights, our rights as citizens. Thank you for the work you do.
Thank you.
Marceline White, and thank you, Kevin Matthews and Terry Berg, for the work you do to keep up the fight.
Thank you.
Good to have you all here. And thank Franz Schneiderman for sending this to us in the first place, who said, you've got to do this show. And we did. I remind you on the way out of here, this broadcast of the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Transit Administration. Maryland Transit Administration is a proud sponsor of the Black Male Identity Project. For more information, go to www.morethan28days.com, and that 28 is a number, morethan28days.com, and we'll be doing a series of conversations with the Black Male Identity Project and some very controversial issues that you want to be part of. But get more information, www.morethan28days.com. We will be right back to talk with the complexities of what's happening there on the internet and rights being abridged. It's now been declared a human right by the United Nations. shutting down in other places. People, websites have been attacked across the world. What's going on? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.